Surely faith is what delivers us from fear. Isn't the whole point of faith that we have peace and have joy in believing? Yes, that's true. There is a fear that faith relieves. But there's more. There is also, and I want us to see this in the Bible clearly today, there is also a fear that faith brings.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I'm going to guess that most of us have heard the first part of that, that as we have faith, that does overcome fear. But I hear you saying also that there might be some good that comes with fear.
Yes, or at least that there's a good kind of fear. The Bible speaks about the fear of the Lord. And some folks listening to the program today will be familiar with what the Bible says about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. That's a good thing. That means I want more of this fear of the Lord, whatever that is, and we're going to look at what it is today. I want more of it because I want more wisdom. But actually, that's only the beginning. We're going to look today, Steve, at no less than seven marvelous gifts that are ours as we come to fear the Lord. And so I hope that today through the program, you're going to say, well, I want as much of this marvelous gift of fearing the Lord as I can possibly get in my life.
Well, that's what we're looking at today from the book of Hebrews. If you can, join us as we begin our message, Faith Fears God. Here is Pastor Colin.
If you'd open your Bible at Hebrews and chapter 11, we're going to focus on verse 7 of Hebrews 11 as we continue in our series, Living by Faith. And this remarkable chapter teaches us by way of examples. We're told about people who lived by faith, and each one of them highlights a particular aspect of the faith to which we are all called. We saw from the story of Abel that faith listens to God. We saw from the story of Enoch that faith walks with God. Today we're going to see from the story of Noah that faith fears God. Look at verse 7 with me, if you would, of Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Now, friends, it seems to me that what we have before us in this verse today directly addresses a question that is pressing upon each and every one of us. We are all living in a time when believers are experiencing great sadness over the secret sins that have been revealed in regards to some Christian leaders. And along with our sadness, I think that many of us are perplexed. We ask the question, as one story seems to have given way to another over a period of time, how can these things be? Is there something missing? Have we somehow lost touch with something that we need to keep us on the right path? And I want to suggest to you from the Bible today that one thing that we may have lost is what is spoken of here. Noah lived with reverent fear. Notice God warned Noah concerning events as yet unseen. Noah, the world as you know it is soon going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed, and it will be destroyed through an unprecedented flood. And Noah believed the warning, and he feared. That's what this verse says. Tells us. The verse seems to be saying, if you look at it with me, that faith can lead to fear. By faith, Noah feared. Now, someone will say, oh, no. Surely not. Surely not. Surely faith is what delivers us from fear. Isn't the whole point of faith that we have peace and have joy in believing? Yes, that's true. There is a fear that faith relieves. But there's more. There is also, and I want us to see this in the Bible clearly today, there is also a fear that faith brings. And the reason for this is that God has given us not only promises that relieve fear, he has given us warnings as well. And the faith that rejoices in God's promises is the same faith that also fears and trembles in regards to his warnings. By faith, Noah, being warned by God in reverent fear, constructed an ark. So I want us to see today that the fear that faith brings, and it'll be important for that truth in itself to settle in our minds, there is a fear that faith brings. I want us to see that the fear that faith brings is a gift from God. It's a wonderful thing. We need it. In fact, it is vital to the pursuit of an authentic godly life. So I want then to make 7 observations about godly fear, and I'll give you a scripture for each of them as we try to settle this important truth that I think we need to recover in a clear and fresh way and settle in our minds. Number one then, godly fear is a gift from God. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40, God says, "I will make with them an everlasting covenant. I will not turn away from doing them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts." Why? "That they may not turn from me." Now you say, yeah, this is in the Old Testament. Yes, the Old Testament scripture, and it's referring to the New Covenant. The relationship that all of God's people have with him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that in this covenant, wonderfully, God is committed always to doing us good. And part of the good that he does for us is that he works in such a way that we will be kept from turning away from him. And how does he keep us from turning away from him? He says, "I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn away from me." Now, do you see this as a gift from God? This is something God will do. When you come to faith, this is something that comes with faith. Not only the joy of believing his promises, but you come to tremble at his warnings as well. God puts that into your heart, and it's a gift from him. It comes from his hand. It's a wonderful thing because it keeps you from turning away from him if you have it. Second, godly fear is the fruit of forgiveness. It's something actually that only forgiven people really know. Psalm 130 in verses 3 and 4. "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared." Now, you would think that that verse would say, "O Lord, with you there is forgiveness that you may be loved." That would be true. The one who is forgiven much loves much. But that's not what this verse says. What this verse says is, "With you there is forgiveness," and here's what comes of it, "that you may be feared." In other words, there is a fear of the Lord that forgiveness actually brings, that it begets, that it creates in the soul. When you know that the forgiveness of your sins came at the cost of all that Jesus Christ endured on the cross, and that he endured all of this personally and directly for you, you begin to have something of an awe of the gift that you have been given and a fear of sinning against it. Forgiveness brings you into the fear of the Lord. How could I sin against a love like this? Now, do you see then that this godly fear is something that only forgiven people actually know? It's born of a loving relationship. It is bought at an infinite cost. It's the fruit of forgiveness. And that is confirmed by the fact that it is the wicked who have no fear of God. You find that in Romans in chapter 3. The Apostle Paul lists at length the spiritual state of the ungodly. And he speaks about their lies. He speaks about their venom. He speaks about their curses, and he speaks about their violence. But his bottom line, when he's got through all of the list, his bottom line is this: there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's Romans 3 and verse 18. So the fear that God puts into the hearts of the godly is a fear that is born of love. It's birthed at the cross. It is derived from seeing clearly what it took for me to be forgiven. With you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Faith Fears God. And we're taking a look at seven observations about godly fear. Pausing right here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment. By the way, if you ever miss a message or you want to go back and listen again, you can always do that by coming to our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. You can stream each program or download an MP3 for free. And it's all made possible because of your generosity. So thank you for giving and supporting the ministry. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you the 1-year Unlocking the Bible devotional. You can find out more or give a gift right now by coming to our website, unlockingthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
Godly fear, when you have it, will keep you from sinning. This is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 20, a very clear statement. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you." Why? To keep you from sinning. Take that in. These are words that Moses, of course, spoke at Mount Sinai. And you remember what happened there. It was absolutely terrifying. The presence of God came down on the mountain, smoke, fire, the whole mountain shaking. Even Moses says, "I am trembling with fear." And yet the man who was trembling with fear says, "Don't be afraid," for this reason. The fear that you know right now in the presence of God, he says to these people, is a very good thing. And here's why. It's a gift that as long as it stays with you, will keep you from sinning. When you're tempted, you remember the fire, you remember the smoke, you remember the trembling of the whole mountain at the presence of the Lord. You remember who your God is. You remember the terror you felt in the immediate presence of God. And when you remember, the fear of the Lord will keep you from sinning. Now, of course, there are other motivations that keep us from sinning. Love for Christ. Joy in Christ. But the power of temptation is so strong. And there are times when our love for Christ burns low. There are times when our joy in Christ is diminished. Fear is your friend in the fight against temptation. We need more than godly fear, but we didn't have less. The fear of the Lord, think of it this way, acts as a brake on the impulse to sin that remains in the heart even of godly people. A car without a brake is headed for disaster, and a believer without the fear of the Lord is headed for disaster too. When Joseph was tempted, what was his defense? It was the fear of the Lord. He says this, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" The fear of the Lord will keep you from sinning. Now, what happens if a person loses the fear of the Lord? What happens if someone gets to the place of saying, "Well, now I'm a believer and everything is well and I'm going to sail into heaven and everything's peace and I don't need to worry too much," and so forth and so on? What happens if a person loses a sense of the fear of the Lord? Listen to this in Psalm 36 and verse 1. here's what happens. Transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. Notice these words. Why? Because there is no fear of God before his eyes. Now, you see, you hear about someone who commits a terrible sin. And you say to yourself, and I say to myself, how could this possibly be? How could even the thought of doing that worm its way so deep into that man or that woman's heart that they could do what they did? And the answer is, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's how transgression worms its way deep into the heart. That's what happens when there is no fear of God before the eyes. Do you see that? So the fear of the Lord, Moses says, is a marvelous gift. Lord, let me never, never, never be without this fear. It's your gift in my life. It comes from the knowledge that I'm forgiven at an infinite cost, and inasmuch as I have this present awareness, it will be a break. The fear of the Lord will keep you from sinning. You daren't be without it. Fourth, the fear of the Lord will also foster your pursuit of holiness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. So, the Apostle Paul says, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Wonderful statement. We make it our aim to please him. Now, how do you get there? How do you make it your aim to live always to please the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, notice what he says next. For, this is the explanation. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you see the logic of this. You see the force of it. One day I will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and I will give an account of the way that I have lived my life. There's no avoiding this for any of us here. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, I daren't live to please myself. Therefore, I daren't make the agenda of my life to please everybody else. I have to have this single aim if the ultimate reality that's ahead of me is clear in my mind. I have to have this single aim that I will make it my aim to please him. Now, again, this is not the only motive for pleasing the Lord. We make it our aim to please him because we love him. We make it our aim to please him because we are unable fully to thank him for what he has done for us. We make it our aim to please him because we find joy in him and we find joy in pleasing him. Yes, these are higher motives, for sure. But again, there will be times when your love burns low. There will be times when your joy is diminished. And God gives you this motive that none of us should despise. We make it our aim to please him, for we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Fifth, trying to build a picture from the scripture of why this is so important and why this is such a wonderful gift from the Lord. Fifth, godly fear will sustain you in faithful service. How do you keep going when it's difficult? Well, look at this snapshot from the Apostle Paul. Same place, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And what does he say next? Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. Now, Paul experienced tremendous opposition in the course of his apostolic ministry. You read what he endured. You read the opposition, the discouragements that just kept coming at him, and you ask the question, how in the world did this man keep going? And here he gives us an answer. He knew that something of overwhelming consequence lies ahead of every person born into the world. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not just Paul, but everybody else. And so he says, well, now how can I think of doing nothing when every person I ever meet has this destiny ahead of them? How can I remain silent when I know this is true? Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. And again, of course, there are other motives. You only need to read on a few verses, and Paul says that he is controlled by the love of Christ. But here, in sustaining ministry, he tells us that this also plays its part. We are sustained in ministry not only by the love of Christ, joy in Christ, and a desire to see people enter into the blessing of Christ, but by a sense of the urgency that comes because of the fear of the Lord that is within us. Sixth, godly fear will keep you from abandoning the faith. Here's something really important in a time when so many people who have once professed faith are apparently walking away from what they once professed. And that, of course, was exactly the temptation that was behind the book of Hebrews. Why was the book of Hebrews written? Because there are these Jewish believers, and the whole pressure of the culture was against their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them had suffered greatly, and some of them were being tempted to abandon the faith that they had professed. And the book of Hebrews, as we've seen, provides robust encouragement. I mean, it's really straight talking about what it means if you walk away from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me give you, for example, Hebrews chapter 10. He says to these people, and God's word says to us, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment." And then later, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Godly fear will keep you from abandoning the faith.
That is the sixth of seven observations about godly fear. Hope you make it a point to tune in next time as we will take a look at observation number seven, and we'll see how these seven observations about fear have a practical application for you and I today. If you ever want to go back and listen to these broadcasts again, you can do that at our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported broadcast, and that's exactly what it sounds like. As you give a financial gift of any amount, we're able to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching each day. But we want to say thank you as you give a gift this month by sending you a copy of Pastor Colin's book, The 1 Year Unlocking the Bible Devotional. And Colin, there are a lot of devotional books out there. What makes this one a little bit different?
Oh, well, I think three things. The first is that it is the Bible. I mean, there are a lot of devotional books that give positive, encouraging thoughts, but they don't really open up the scriptures themselves. This will open up the Bible for you. Second, it will open up the whole Bible. It'll give you the big picture of the Bible story from Genesis to Revelation. A lot of people know stories from the Bible, but don't know the big picture story of the Bible. And the whole Bible is one story, and it points to Jesus Christ. And that's the third thing that I think is distinctive about this. We try to keep showing that every part of the Bible points us to Jesus. He's the center. He's the treasure. And when you see Jesus Christ, there's life and there's light and there's hope in him.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this 1 year devotional book. Again, it's called The 1 Year Unlocking the Bible Devotional. It's our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can give by calling us at 1-866-UNLOCKED, or you can go online and give through our website, unlockingthebible.org. Again, the phone number is 1-866-865-6253, or the website, unlockingthebible.org. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Three pathways to restoring the fear of the Lord in your life. That's next time on Unlocking the Bible.